You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
The text, John, the 20th chapter. Now, I'm going to start at verse 1, then we're going to skip down to verse 11, okay? And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Text reads like this: Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Let's skip down to verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Will you pray with me and pray for me? Sovereign God, we praise you on this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you, God, for your son, Jesus. God, help us, remind us the significance of this day, the purpose, the meaning behind this day. Help us, God, to realize that even in dark times, we can turn to you, that even in dark times, you are still active and not sleep. God, we praise and bless your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Now, God, I'm asking that you open up every heart, mind, and ears in this place today, that people will not only hear a word, process a word, but also be able to feel the word that comes from this ancient text this morning. God, as I stand behind the sacred desk, I realize that it's preaching time. So, God, I'm asking that you help this earthen vessel you call Sean Birch. Help me, God. Help me to say the words that you want me to say. Help me to convey the message in the way that you want me to convey it. God, and even now, if there's any mess in my mortal flesh, that you deal with that mess so it does not get in the way of the miraculous possibilities that you have through your word. I simply say, have thine own way, God. In Jesus' name, let God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated in this place. Not going to reread. You have the text before you. I want to tag this text, "A Message for Dark Times." I want to tag this text, "A Message for Dark Times."
Check it out, family.
The Gospel of John is the only gospel that specifically mentions it was still dark on the day of Jesus's resurrection. Charles G. Adams said, "It is most significant that Easter or resurrection did not come at daybreak. The rising of the Son of God was not synchronized with the rising of the astronomical sun of our heliocentric interplanetary system," end quote. I believe it is appropriate that the author wrote this particular verse, or in fact, this particular phrase, where the author of the Gospel of John simply says, "While it was still dark." Somebody tell your neighbor, "While it was still dark." While it was still dark, because it brings into reality that the ancient people of this text and also the people of our modern society can understand the language of dark times. As far as everyone is concerned in this pericope, Jesus is dead in a borrowed tomb. Dark times. Mary Magdalene finds Jesus' body missing and assumes someone stole his body. She is already in great grief, and as she arrives to anoint her Lord's body, it is missing. Dark times. Not only Mary, but other people who are deeply connected to Jesus are grieving the death of a son, teacher, friend, brother, and Lord. Dark times. If we even entertain the idea that some people who were caught up in the moment, you know, those people that last Sunday we talked about that was hollering, "Hosanna, Hosanna," ended up shouting out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Even if we entertain the idea that some people who were caught up in the moment, they may not necessarily be grieving Jesus, but they are grieving the idea that Jesus, who was supposed to be to them the military Messiah, who will overthrow the power of the Roman government, Roman oppression, Roman taxes, is not the person they thought he was. Dark times. Now, concerning our world today, we as a people are grappling with continued gun violence, racism, classism, sexism, all of those isms, bigotry, dark times. And not to mention the unjust laws that continue to break the backs of the oppressed and marginalized people, dark times. We are one of the richest countries in the world, yet we have too many children faced with hunger, homelessness, and heinous acts of abuse. Dark times. We all bear witness to natural, accidental, and intentional disasters. Dark times. You can even reflect the most recent disaster that our country experienced occurred in Baltimore, Maryland. And for whatever you say about the name of the bridge or the politics behind it, the reality is that there was an accident that occurred. A boat hit one of the structures of that bridge. And while people were working on the bridge, while some were driving past it, all of a sudden it collapsed. And if you even notice in the video, the boat went dark. Once the boat hit the bridge went dark. Somebody say dark times. However, in times like these, the Bible informs us that there is a message for dark times. The message from Jesus and of his resurrection shines a light of hope during dark times. In fact, Charles G. Adams goes on to say, I quote, "The light of day did not cause Easter or the resurrection. The light of day only revealed to human sight that Easter and the resurrection event that had already occurred while it was still dark." This, end quote. So this is good news to each and every one of us this morning. It's good news because John's account tells us that while it was still dark, Jesus is certainly active in dark times. That was your shouting cue right there.
when all the lights are off, when people are asleep, when folk don't even realize you're going through a midnight hour. Jesus has already woke up. He's already up. He's fully resurrected. He is alive. And during dark times, you have hope because you know and I know that Jesus is still working on the scene. Oh, that's not getting you this morning. Well, let me come down your neighborhood and maybe you were the one going through a crisis in your life when you didn't feel like you were going to recover. Maybe you were depressed about somebody or something. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe folk are just pushing you in the outside or the margins of society, making you feel like you don't belong. But when you don't feel like you belong, when other folk want to hurt you, when you're going through the worst season of your life, when you're going through the darkest moments of your life, Jesus is on the scene. Jesus is shining his light. Jesus is helping you out. Jesus is making a way out of no way. Jesus is continuing to declare that he is the Son of God. When other folk want to cry that he is dead, Jesus is working behind the scenes, working it out for me and working it out for you. And that in any disaster that we face, any disaster that we experience, Jesus already has the answer. Yes, Jesus, you've been good to me. Yes, Jesus, I acknowledge your resurrection. Yes, Jesus, you give me hope and strength. Yes, Jesus, you give me a way to keep on pressing through the darkness. When you don't even think you can see your way out, just look to the hills from which cometh your help, because your help, my help, your help, my help, your help, my help, your help, my help comes from the Lord. You're not going to sit down here acting real cute. Look, I came in here this morning acting real cute. I got my sky blue jacket on. I got my neatly pressed shirt. And yeah, I use starch. And yeah, I press my jeans. I know I look fly, and I don't got to ask anybody if I look fly. But I didn't come in here to look fly. I came in here just to shout and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can come in here and act cute all you want to. I know you got your pressed on nails. I know you got your hair did. I know you spent all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all day Saturday looking for a nice outfit. It ain't about your outfit, baby. It's about the outfit of the resurrection that Jesus puts on. I want somebody to... Yeah, while it was still dark, Jesus is certainly active in dark times. On this Resurrection Sunday, what exactly does Jesus want us to do during dark times? On this Resurrection Sunday, what exactly does Jesus want us to do during dark times? Well, as we navigate dark times, Mary's actions help us to do three things. First thing that I want to address in the text is that Mary's actions or her response helps us to go. Gotta go right now. Somebody turn to the neighbor and say, neighbor, we got to go. Now, I'm already going to throw this disclaimer out here because I've been in church for a very long time. And so when I say go, that's not your signal to say, okay, now it's time for me to get up out my seat and just get out the church. I'm not saying that I came to the ministry. I came to the church. I'm a part of this church. Now it's time for me to go. God gave me my confirmation through pastor. That's not what I'm saying. If you hold on real quick, we about to uncover what go really means in the biblical text. Somebody look at a neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. We about to go. Go. Look, in fact, we see, and that I would like to reference verse 17. Jesus said, text says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Jesus says, go. Somebody say, go. instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Somebody say, go.
Go.
Look, do not hold on to Jesus. I'm going to say that again because now some of y'all frowned up your faces. Do not hold on to Jesus. This is strange language to me, and I imagine this will be strange language to you all as well. Because I don't know about you, but all my life, I have always been taught, told, and trained to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I have always been taught, told, and trained to hold on to Jesus no matter what. And although this language is strange, we find here that Jesus himself tells Mary to basically let go of him temporarily because he has not yet ascended to his Father yet. It's almost as if Jesus was telling her that this is not the time to hold on to me. You know how it goes? We may be in a situation or we may have encountered a circumstance where we receive some bad news. And the bad news ultimately doesn't pan out the way that we thought. And then we have this sense of what? Relief. And this sense of relief causes us to hold on to this good news so much that we may lose sight that there's still work to do. Somebody say go. I'm not saying you can't hold on to Jesus, but Jesus himself is saying this is not the moment to hold on to me. Look, Mary, I know that now you realize I'm no longer dead. I know you realize, Mary, that I have resurrected from the dead. I know you realize that I'm alive and I'm here right now. And sometimes when you have someone you love so much come back into your life, you feel like you don't want to let them go. Mary is right here. I don't want to let you go, Jesus. You left me for 3 days. I don't want to let you go, Jesus, because I don't know if you're going to leave me again. I don't want to let you go, Jesus. But Jesus has something bigger in store. Jesus realizes that although you're elated, excited, and ecstatic to see me, I need to set you up and prepare you for your next assignment. Somebody say assignment. Yeah. So Jesus instructs us to go and don't hold on to him temporarily. Now, look, I got to get y'all to say temporarily. So thank you. So when you leave this house, you won't go in the streets and be like, be talking in the street, talking about pastor told us not to hold on to Jesus. But now you said temporarily. So now you know that this is just for a short period of time. This is not the moment to hold on to me because now I want to prepare you for an assignment because when Jesus is working in dark times, we can't get caught up in our emotions, but we still got to do what God has called us to do or is calling us to do. Go. Instead of holding on to me or holding on to Jesus, please hold on to the message of the resurrection and message that I share with you, the message of the resurrection, and go tell your brothers. Many of us are still crying over things that hurt us many years ago. And Jesus had already told you to keep on going because there's a message that you should have shared with somebody a long time ago. But you're stuck. And you can't go. You always, y'all played Monopoly before, and you go past go, and there's rewards if you go past go, but sometimes we end up in jail. And some of y'all jokers that played Monopoly, y'all be trying to break out of jail before everybody. Be like, nah, you can't do that. That card didn't read it that way. We get stuck in places that keep us in bondage, and many of us are stuck in places that have kept us in bondage because we held on to some stuff that we should not have held on to for that long. Even Jesus realizes, I don't need you to hold on to my flesh. I need you to hold on to the promises of God. Somebody say go. if you're going to be liberated, if you're going to be free, in fact, if you're going to be resurrected from some stuff that you're holding on to, then you need to follow Jesus' principle and Jesus' message and Jesus' words, and you just need to just let go. Let go that you can be free. Let go that so that you can be liberated. But most importantly, let go so that you can fulfill the promises that God has for your life and the life of others. Because in this assignment and in this role, it's just not about me. Did you catch it? In this assignment and in this role, it's just not about me. For Jesus, it wasn't just about Jesus, because in Jesus' ministry, Jesus always pointed to God. And now Jesus is teaching in this raw moment, Minister Lewis, that Mary, even though you're grieving or now you're excited, it's not about how you feel. Go, because I got a work for you to do. Now, as we navigate dark times, Mary's response helps us to go. I hope you all are encouraged to go. I hope the resurrection message inspires you to go. That's an action word. Oh, y'all quiet in here. It's an action word. The church will never get to where it needs to go until people actually start being active in the life of the church and in the life of the community to build the church, build the community, and turn this world upside down. Go. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. Let me do it like this. We got too many people complaining in church, talking about we ain't doing nothing, we ain't about nothing. Well, where are you at? Go. If you're complaining about what the church ain't doing, how about you pray to God and what you can do? And go! I ain't messing around this morning, because the resurrection message teaches us that we cannot stay in dead spaces for long. We can't be complaining and just lay down dead and take it. We gotta go. If Jesus got up and went and stayed busy, we can stay busy and be about our Father's business. Somebody say business. No, you gotta say that thing like you from the hood. Business. Somebody say go, go. As we navigate dark times, Mary's response helps us not only to go, but secondly, we find that her response helps us to go share our witness. Go share our witness. It's not enough just to go, because if you're just going and you're walking around aimlessly. You tell me to go, I can go and just walk around. You'll look at me like I'm crazy, be like, why is he walking around? Ain't said a thing, ain't lift a thing. He's just walking. But Jesus shows us in his instruction to Mary that it's just more than just walking it out, but you got to do something, or in fact, share something as well. And now we see that Mary's response to Jesus's instruction shows us that we not only go, but we go share our witness. What are you talking about, Pastor, witness? Well, I'm just going to give it to you how the text gave it to you. Verse 18 says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. Now, it just wasn't any normal news. This was good news. See, y'all should have been smiling and be like, yes, good news. Because we get bad news all the time, every day. Mary went to the disciples with the news. You know what she said? Y'all know what she said? Oh, y'all really want to know. This side didn't want to know. Y'all want to know? I'm not convinced. Do y'all really want to know? Yes. They really want to know. Do y'all really want to know? Yes. Do y'all really want to know? Yes. Do y'all really want to know? Yes. All right. Do all y'all want to know? Yes. All right. I'm going to tell you what she says. And I'm going to tell you what she says verbatim. She goes to Jesus's brother. She goes to her fellow disciples. And she says, I have seen the Lord. Y'all sitting down like, Pastor, I thought it was going to be a spontaneous word. Sometimes we expect a message to be long and drawn out. Jesus simplified the message and simply gave her the word she needed to convey to the other disciples. But she also, because I believe Mary learned enough through Jesus's witness, that she knew that she had to witness to them as well. Because I have to believe that this female preacher, oh, y'all don't want to shout. If Jesus instructs and teaches this woman, then helps her to exegete the situation. Oh, exegete means to observe, break down what's going on so that you can understand what the scriptural text is all about. And once you understand and interpret the scriptural text, then you can go run tell that. Oh, you ain't in with me. I need all the ladies in the house this morning. Maybe the fellas ain't with me this morning. But if you a lady in the house, and sometimes you got folk that say that women can't do nothing in the church, can't speak, can't do this, but you want their tithes and offering, but you better understand that if God can call a man, God can call a woman as well. I want somebody to shout with me, because there's no limitations on what God can do. God can do this and God can do that. So God calls Mary, and Mary says, I have seen the Lord. Sit down, sit down. Y'all making me nervous. Y'all making me nervous. Y'all got me sweating out my moisturizer in my hair. Good God Almighty. Mary tells them, I have seen the Lord. And whether you like it or not, that's witness. In her sermonic moment, what she does is correlate her experience with the message. In her sermonic moment, she literally correlates her experience with the message. And so before she shared the message, she had to share her witness. The fact that she has witnessed the Lord. And what she was really saying is that, brothers, Jesus is no longer dead. Brothers, Jesus has risen from the dead. Brothers, Jesus who was laid in a borrowed tomb. Y'all remember when I said that earlier? You know what the Bible said? You know, that wasn't Jesus's plot. That was not Jesus's tomb. He did not put the down payment on it, but he paid it all for you. Come on now. She tells them, I have seen Jesus for myself. I have seen him with my own eyes. Many of us have been in some dark place, and that's what's interesting about this text. Minister Belton is dark, but she finally saw Jesus. I just wish that many of us that were existing in dark times can see Jesus in those dark times. And when you see Jesus in those dark times, you will have the confidence to go tell somebody that even though I have experienced the most hellish situation in my life, and even though I could not see my way out on my own, Jesus was there. Jesus did not stay in that cold grave. Jesus did not stay buried for long. Jesus did not entertain the maggots and worms. Jesus, oh, y'all ain't shouting on that one. You know, when your body is dead, then it starts to decompose. And when it decomposes, well, guess what? Maggots and worms will start feeding on your body. And in fact, they are there, they're feasting. And then at some point, your body over the years will become dust. But Jesus doesn't entertain the maggots and the worms. He does not entertain the process of decomp, but instead Jesus overrides death. He overrides that process. He overrides all that stuff, and he helps us to understand that the grave could not hold him. And so I gotta go run tell that. Mary says that I want to share, as I share the message that Jesus gave me, I want to encourage you today that if I can share the witness, you can share the witness as well. Yeah. If Mary can share the witness, then I can share the witness. You can share the witness. Maybe they get it. If Mary can share her witness, I can share my witness. That means you can share your witness. Because the reality is, Mary wasn't the only one going through dark times. Jesus wasn't the only one who went through dark times. But people like you and I go through dark times. We go through some hard moments. We go through some hard roads. But the reality is that in those dark times, I have seen the Lord. And if you don't know all the scripture, then you should at least know that I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord when I was on drugs. I have seen the Lord resurrect me from drugs. I have seen the Lord when the prostitute was on the street. I have seen the Lord resurrect the prostitute from the street. I have seen the Lord. Where have you seen the Lord in your life? Have you seen the Lord when you didn't have enough money to pay your bills? Did you see the Lord when your relationships were all busted? Where did you see the Lord? Have you seen the Lord when your body was riddled with disease? Have you seen the Lord when you were going through a diabetic crisis? Where have you seen the Lord? Mary said, I seen him. I seen him at the tomb. I seen him when I was crying. I seen him when I was hurting. Somebody shout, go! So as we navigate dark times, Mary's actions or response helps us to, one, go. But not only just going, just to walk around, run around, or whatever. But we're also told, number two, to go share our witness. Our witness in being that I have seen the Lord. Don't be making up witnessing. Witness what you actually saw. Lastly, as we navigate through hard times or dark times, Mary's response helps us to go and share his message. Oh, you didn't catch it. Go share his message. Now, this preaching woman had it right. She didn't share her opinion. That woman did not share her opinion, but she shared his message. Are they picking up what I'm really putting down? She didn't share her opinion. She shared his message. And that's not to say that she can't share her opinion. But she's a disciplined preacher. She graduated from Jesus Christ Seminary. I mean, she walked with Jesus. She talked with Jesus. This is the same woman that her body had been invaded by demons and people thought she was crazy. So what value can come out of her mouth if she once had demons in her earthen vessel? Jesus shows us, this is not even part of the sermon, but I do think it's relevant. It's relevant because Jesus reveals a counterculture. In our culture today, one writer
And I might not quote it exactly, but one writer alluded to the fact that in the ancient, well, not even alluded to the fact, wrote to the fact that, in the ancient world, the Mediterranean world, in the society that Jesus was in the religious structure, women had no value. Specifically, what they said had no value. Somebody say, oh my. Can I just teach for a moment? Now, I ain't gonna lie. I don't know what time it is. I don't even know how long I've been preaching, but I got an answer for that. The clock stopped. Somewhere between you all singing the last song, the clock stopped. I'm thinking I'm starting at 11:40. It's been 11:40 for a while now. In the Mediterranean world, this woman or many women's voices didn't matter. It wasn't regarded or well regarded like a man's voice would have been. But Jesus shows us that he can have use for anyone and that everyone that God has created has value. Oh, you don't want to shout? I don't know. I felt it more over here. Felt it more over here. How many of you have value? I might have been wrong. How many of you feel like you got value? Oh, okay, okay. I'm gonna give you another chance because how many of you feel like you got value? Yeah. We are all God's created creatures and we all have value. Isn't it funny and laughable that the God that created us, that says, that constitutes we all have value, we as human beings go around assigning who is more valuable over others. Unfortunately, in this society, and unfortunately in the ancient world, women didn't have a lot of value. Their voice wasn't valuable, but God. But God rose up his son on the third day, but God. And Jesus finds a crying woman where society has deemed she has no value. Her voice has no value. So Jesus continues or begins to complete her training so she can go ahead and graduate and immediately start doing the work. And this woman who has been grieving and crying and has been through some stuff, I mean the fact that she had demons in her body some time ago. Here's this woman that has been through some stuff. Can I tell you this, that you don't have to be perfect to do God's will? People think that they got to fix themselves up and be whole all by themselves before they can come back to church. God ain't looking for you to take super glue and fix yourself up. God is looking for you to come as you are. Mary comes as she is. She comes broken. She comes talked about. She comes defeated. But she also comes knowing that Jesus is here. And instead of sharing her message, her opinion, she decides that after she bore witness to Jesus being alive, she shared that she witnessed Jesus alive, but then she went into his message. And his message gave hope to the disciples. It was his message that gave them hope and activated their faith and activated their feet to start running to the location that they were told to go to. It was his message that continues to draw people close to Jesus. Whether you're a man or a woman, if you got an opinion about something, I'm just going to tell you right now, shut your mouth and start sharing more of Jesus. Because it's not your opinion that's going to save people. It's not your opinion that's going to continue to feed the hungry. It's not your opinion that's going to clothe the naked. It's not your opinion that's going to stop disasters. It's not your opinion that's going to stop wars. But it's going to be his message that heals the land. It's going to be his message that heals the church. It's going to be his message that heals your relationships. It's going to be his message that continues to give you hope. It's going to be his message that continues to give you strength. Somebody ought to know today that when Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me," it wasn't a permanent thing. It was only temporary, because when I finally ascend to my Father, my Father and your Father, my God and your God, it also signals the fact is that that's when you need to hold on to me, because I physically won't be here, but I want you to hold on to my word. I want you to hold on to my examples. I want you to hold on to my principles. Somebody better say hold on. Sometimes you want to hold on to the flesh, and the flesh feels good, but there are times where you got to go beyond the flesh and tap into the spiritual. You better tap your neighbor and say, "You got to tap in." You got to tap in and say, "There are moments that I got to let go and tap in to the word of God, the living word. I got to tap in to spiritual things. I got to tap into some hope. I got to tap into some love. I gotta tap into some grace. I gotta tap into some mercy. When I can't physically see Jesus, it's the word that still keeps me hopeful and connected about Jesus." So she went to go share his message. And when she shared his message, the Bible goes on to tell us that they absolutely went to go meet Jesus where he wanted them to meet. They got the message. They saw him for themselves. They believed. For them to get to where they had to go, they believed her, the preacher. Anyway, they believed her, the preacher, and they believed her witness. They believed her message that came from the Lord. And as they believed the message, and as they met together, they gathered together, and we also find that there was another message that Jesus shared with all to hear. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age.'" There's a message for dark times. The message tells us that I can go, and the message tells me that I can go share my witness about Jesus, because I've seen Jesus in my life. I seen Jesus when I was on a hotel balcony. I seen Jesus as I navigated through the aisles of foster care. I seen Jesus when I was depressed and hopeless. I seen Jesus when I was taking pills to end my life. I seen Jesus when I was trying to stab myself as a teenager. Oh, you don't want to talk about it. You have seen Jesus in some critical moments in your life. And the moment you seen Jesus, it literally saved your life. Oh, you don't want to talk this morning. The resurrection ain't about being still laying dead and acting like nothing ain't going to happen. The resurrection is about the fact that if Jesus can take a depressed body and raise me up, Jesus can raise you up as well. And I stand here today because my Savior told me to go. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go run, tell that. I'm going to tell somebody. I'm telling you, Deanna, I'm going to go tell it on the mountain. over the hills and everywhere. I'm going to go and tell it on a mountain that not only was Jesus born, but Jesus lived on this earth. Not only did Jesus live on this earth, but Jesus helped people and Jesus healed people. But not only did he heal people, he brought sight to the blind. He helped the lame to walk. He taught some Pharisees what the real word was all about. But not only that, I'm going to tell people that he went into Jerusalem. And even though they shouted Hosanna, they ended up saying crucify him. I'm going to go tell people that they took him to Calvary's cross, the place that's called the Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of death. And they nailed him down to an old rugged cross. I'm going to tell people while I'm going that not only was he nailed to the cross, not only was he bleeding from the cross, not only was that blood, you know about the blood that washes away our sins, the blood that cleanses your mess, the blood that gives you strength, the blood that got power. I'm going to tell people that, that this same Jesus that was on the cross, this same Jesus that bled on the cross, he was put in a borrowed tomb. Borrowed. Borrowed means that it didn't belong to me in the first place. Borrowed says that I'm not staying here for long. Borrowed says, thank you for the grave, but I'm going to give that thing right back to you. Because on the third day, Jesus rose up with all power in his hands. So when I'm going through dark times, there is a message for dark times. And what is that message? Jesus lives.
As you stand to your feet, a message for dark times. Jesus lives. Jesus continues to give us hope in the resurrection power. Jesus gives us hope in a message that verifies that not only is he alive, but he can use anyone to be his instrument to deliver the word.
Amen.